Can the congregation please stand? Congregation may be seated. As we begin, we want to welcome you all here to this service of thanksgiving for the life of our dear brother, Bobby McBrien. As a congregation, we especially sympathise with Bobby's dear wife, Raya, as well as his twin sister, Isabel, here with us today, and their respective families as well. We also want to sympathise with Bobby's extended family who are here this afternoon. The family want to place on record that your being here today is a great encouragement to them in this their time of mourning. And Rye also wants to thank all who have helped in all sorts of ways, especially over the last number of years as Bobby's health has deteriorated. It's greatly appreciated indeed. Also, she wants me to put on record her sincere thanks to the carers who cared for Bobby during the last few years of his life. We're going to commence our worship today by singing the Psalm number 23. It's found in your order of service there. The first hymn on the Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. Psalm 23, the first hymn on order of service, and we'll stand, please, to sing. Let's stand, please. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation and the chapter 14 and verse 13 that I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works do follow them." And we're here today to remember and to pay tribute to the life, the legacy, and indeed the works, as we've thought about there in Scripture, of our dear brother, Bobby McBrien. We'll come to the Lord in prayer. and ask for the Lord's help and grace and presence today. Our gracious God and our loving Father in heaven, we come to thee in the name of our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God, for him who loved us, him who gave himself for us. And O God, we thank you for the one who is the hope of the child of God. Think of Paul as he wrote there in the New Testament, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And O God, as we approach thy throne, we freely confess our unworthiness before thee. We freely confess that we don't deserve the least of your mercies. We can say like Jacob that we're not worthy of them. We're not worthy of the very least of them and of all the truths that you've given to us in the Word of God. But Lord, we thank thee nonetheless that you are a God of love, that you are a God of compassion. Lord, you are slow to chide with us. And Lord, you are one who is full of grace and full of mercy. And we can say that thy faithfulness, it is great towards us. And as we come to thee in prayer this afternoon, we're here to recognize that as we bow our hearts before thee. Lord, we are bowing before one who is the very creator of this world. Lord, you are our creator. You are our sustainer. Lord, as thou dost give us the gift of life, Lord, so sovereignly you remove it from us as well. As we come to thee in prayer, we do thank you that, Lord, whilst you remove the gift of life from us, Lord, you do not leave us comfortless. Well, Lord, we thank you that you give us the grace, Lord, the mercy of eternal life. We thank you, Lord, that your word reminds us that you are the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We come to thee and we ask that you will give us hope. Lord, that you will grant us thy grace this afternoon. Lord, as we're here to mourn the loss of our dear brother Bobby, Lord, we thank you for him. And we can say, even with the scriptures, Lord, blessed are they which die in the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that whilst he has left us, he has passed away in the Lord. He has passed away in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that whilst it is our loss, O God, it is our loss today. Lord, it is Bobby's gain. Lord, he is now in the very presence of thy Son. Lord, now he is with the spirits of just men. He's made perfect. Lord, what a thought that is. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. We pray, Lord, that as we are left behind here, and Lord, thou knowest, Lord, that sorrow is real. Lord, thou knowest that the pains and the heart pangs that we have, Lord, they are very, very real. Think of Paul there as he was saying goodbye to the elders at Ephesus, and he gathered them round there on the beach, and Lord, thy word tells us that he wept, and he wept bitterly. Lord, he knew that he would never see these men whom he loved again, probably. And Lord, there was great mourning and lamentation. And Lord, thou knowest, O God, that with the separation of us and Bobby, Lord, there is that great sorrow. There is that grief that comes to our hearts. Lord, we just ask that you will give us grace today. Lord, we thank you that we sorrow not as those that have no hope. Lord, we sorrow as those that do have hope. Lord, we thank you for the hope of the gospel, the consolation, the comfort, Lord, that the gospel brings to the heart and life. Remember us then as we worship thee and worship thy throne this afternoon. Give us grace and give us help. We pray especially for the family represented here. Lord, remember especially our dear sister Raya. Remember Bobby's twin Isabel and, Lord, the rest of the outside family. We pray that you will just give grace and give help today. Be with us then as we further worship before thy throne. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll further worship the Lord singing the second hymn in your order of service. The second hymn, O Happy Day, that fixed my choice, and thee my Saviour and my God. And this was a favourite hymn of our dear brother Bobby's. He loved to think of that day when he passed from death unto life, spiritually speaking, that day when his choice was fixed on Jesus Christ as his Saviour. So again, we'll stand, please, after the introduction to sing this hymn to the Lord. Let's stand, please. To turn this afternoon to John chapter 11 for our scripture reading. John chapter 11. And it is a very, very apt portion when we think of the occasion that we're gathered for today to celebrate and commemorate the life of our dear brother Bobby. Because in John chapter 11, you see the Lord Jesus Christ and he is there, and he is at a grave. He's at the grave of a friend. He said in verse 5 that he loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This was at the grave of a man whom he loved, whom he cared for, and whom he cherished his friendship greatly. And so we want to take our reading from John chapter 11. John 11 verse 11 tells us, "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said to him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Then verse 32, and we read there, Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which openeth the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus saith, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. And we'll end our reading there at the end of that verse. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to each of our hearts today. I want to look at, just for a few moments, look at the great I am statement in verses 25 and 26. But before we do so, we'll bow in prayer, then we'll come and consider that statement together. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we recognize that whilst people are a good and even at times a great help, Lord, we freely confess today that when we come to thy word, we can say that it is sweet as honey. Lord, we thank you for passages like this, very, very salty and hard-hitting passages, especially at a time like this afternoon. And we just pray that as we would journey, Lord, to this grave in Bethany, and Lord, as we would look at thee work and hear thee speak, We pray that this afternoon that we will hear thee speak to our hearts just as you spoke to Lazarus on that occasion. Bless us, O God, we beseech thee then, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the verses 25 and following, we read, Jesus said unto her, that's Martha, one of the sisters of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? On the 21st of April 1933, Bobby McBrine was born into this world. He was born in the Waterside Hospital, and his parents were James and Lizzie McBrine. He was raised in his parents' home in Lisglass, and interestingly, that was just over the hill, of course, from where Raya was raised. She was raised in Listillan. He attended Listillan Primary School, and Raya also told me that she went there, but she was also very, very quick to say to me, now, whenever Bobby was leaving, I was really just starting. So she was quick to remind me of that. Like many, he left school quite young at that time, aged 14. And Bobby then went to the family farm to work. And it was whilst he was working on the family farm that he then came across Raya, and eventually he married Raya. After a while, they then came into the town and they settled in Knockwellen Park. I believe it was 13 years that Bobby and Raya lived in Knockwellen Park together. And they then moved to their home in Beach Park in Drumahoe. Bobby worked for many years as a porter in the hospital, and he worked right up till retirement. But if you know Bobby as well as I'm sure you do, you know that Bobby had a great love for cars. And I only discovered just a few days ago that coming to the end of Bobby's retirement, and then I think a little while after retirement, he actually cleaned cars for a bit of extra cash. Bobby was married to Raya in his 30th year. And Bobby and Raya had 55 very happy and fulfilling years together. It's going to be 56 this summer. But next to Raya, Bobby had another great love in this life. And especially in the summer months, you would see that love materialize, because Bobby's other great love was cricket. Bobby just loved to go in the summer and go to Donnymanna and watch them play. Even just last summer, when Bobby's speech was deteriorating, he was still emphatically able to tell me there's no greater team in this country than Donnymanna. I never personally had the pleasure of watching cricket with Bobby, but one person said to me just a few days ago that Bobby was a typical supporter. He knew far more than the players on the pitch about the game. As I said, Bobby was married in his 30th year, and it was also in his 30s that another great change took place in the life of Bobby. Just as Bobby's mother was getting ill, there was an old lady, an old faith mission pilgrim, and she would come regularly to see Bobby's mother. Her name was actually Nurse McClements. And this lady, Nurse McClements, she had been witnessing to Bobby's mother about her need of a saviour. And lo and behold, Bobby and Raya, they were also listening in to the conversation. And on the 4th of February 1967, both Bobby and Raya came to first personal faith in Jesus Christ together. I think that's wonderful. There they were essentially reared just over the hill from each other. They attended the same school as each other. And they were also then converted on the same day. They had their spiritual birthday together as well. You know, there's one thing about Bobby, and I'm sure you'll know what I mean when I say this, but he always said what he thought. I'm sure if you knew Bobby for any length of time, well, you'll agree with me, there's a few smiles. He always said what he thought. We would say he always shot from the hip. He always said what was on his mind. And there was always a great statement with Bobby. And you know, as I thought about Bobby and began to think about his life over the last few days especially, it reminded me that whilst he was a man known for making great statements, the Bible also is full of great statements and also great questions as well. Think, for example, for a moment with me about a man named Job. Job, of course, was a man who suffered. He suffered the loss of everything that was dear to him. He lost his family, he lost his farm, and he lost his fortune. And yet in Job 14, verse 10, we read, "Man dieth, and where is he?" What a searching statement for us to consider this afternoon. Man dieth, and where is he? A few verses later in the same chapter, he asked, "If a man die, shall he live again?" And what a question he asked himself, and ultimately what a question Job is asking us here this afternoon. Perhaps you're here today and the occasion finds you asking that question. Perhaps you're turning it over in your mind, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Well, I believe in John chapter 11, the verses that we have read together, you actually have the answer to that very question. And here you have another remarkable statement in the Bible, in the most obscure of circumstances. Jesus Christ himself, he is standing literally at the tomb of Lazarus. And he was there with a grieving family. He was there with Martha and Mary, who were the two sisters of Lazarus. But don't think that the Lord Jesus Christ was not moved. As he stood there at this grave, as he stood there at this tomb, we read the shortest verse in all of the Bible, Jesus wept. As he stood there, I want you to see it, how compassionate, how loving, how tender the Lord Jesus Christ is. As he stands there and as he mourns the loss of his good friend Lazarus, we read that Jesus wept. And he went on then to make one of the most astounding statements to his grieving sister. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." So here is Jesus Christ, and he's answering that very question for us. If a man die, shall he live again? He says, yes, whosoever believeth in me shall never die. And you know, Bobby was quoted, I believe perhaps some of the last words that he said to his wife, Raya, was, "Raya, I'd love to go home. I'd love to go home." And he was speaking about his heavenly home. He was speaking about his eternal reward. He was speaking about heaven itself. You see, Bobby had that hope that he would go to be with Jesus Christ, which is far better. And you know, the hope and confidence of Bobby can be our hope and confidence today. It is through trusting in Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, that you can know that hope and assurance that Bobby had. And just for a few moments, I want to take us to Bethany, a little village just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And I want us to visit this grave with the Lord Jesus Christ himself as he makes this statement, "I am the resurrection and the life." First thing I want you to think about are the circumstances of this statement. The circumstances. Verses 3 and 4 we read, "Therefore his sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, as I said, they were brothers and sisters, and they lived together in a home in Bethany. Bethany was a little village just a few miles outside Jerusalem. Now this family, they were not a poor family by any stretch of imagination. How do I say that? Well, in verse 2 we read that it was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. The Bible tells us that just prior to Jesus Christ's death, Mary took a precious box of ointment and it cost 300 pence. And she broke that ointment and she anointed the body of Jesus Christ with that ointment. You say to me, well, 300 pence, £3, it's not really that costly. But a penny was about the day's wages in Bible times. So here was a lady, and she spent, in our terms, £15,000 to £20,000 on a precious box of ointment to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. They would have been quite a wealthy family at that time. I also say that because verse 38 tells us a little more detail about the grave of Lazarus. We read it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Lazarus had his own tomb. If you've driven down the M2 in Belfast and you look up to Cave Hill, you'll see two hollow caves there in the midst of that hill. And that's really what the cave or the grave of Lazarus would have been. It would have been a place that would have been hollowed out of a cliff's edge. So here was a family. And here was a wealthy family, a rich family, a well-to-do family. Some actually believe that Lazarus owned virtually the whole of the little village of Bethany. And yet, despite their riches, sickness entered their home. We read here in verse 4 that it was a sickness not unto death. And this really, this word, it has the thought of exhaustion. And the thought really is of this, is of Lazarus gradually deteriorating, gradually getting weaker and weaker and weaker, until eventually Lazarus would pass on. And yet, as I said, here was a family who were loved by Jesus Christ. Verse 5 tells us, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So here was a good family, a Christian family, and a wealthy family. And yet, unfortunately, here was a family still that had to mourn the loss of their brother Lazarus. And rather than being a divider, death is actually a great equalizer. It comes and comes to us all. We're here today, and we're here to commemorate and celebrate the life of Bobby. But surely the very fact that we're here, does it not speak to us about the reality of our frailness and our mortality? Just as Lazarus was a good man, an upstanding man in society, as he had wealth and as he was even loved by Jesus Christ himself, yet he could not escape death. And yet here, you are reminded today that it doesn't matter our social standing in life, but death, it is the great equalizer, it comes to us all. The book of Ecclesiastes reminds us that whilst there is a time to be born, there is also a time to die. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 2 tells us, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good, to the clean, to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And here you read of differing classes in society. The good and the bad and the clean and the unclean. Even those who go to church, him that sacrificeth and him that sacrificeth not. Those that do not go to church. And yet Ecclesiastes tells us there's one event that happens to us all. Speaking of death. You know, a little girl had just lost her dad. And her mother was gathering around. She was trying to explain to her what had happened to her father. And she said, God has sent for your dad and someday he'll send for us. But I just don't know when. And thinking about it carefully and thinking about what her mum had just said, the girl then said to her mum, if we don't know when God is going to send for us, do you not think we'd better pack up and get ready to go? God might send when we're not ready. God might send when we're not ready. I wonder perhaps, could that be you today? You're not ready. You're not ready. Thank the Lord that Bobby, he was ready to go. So here were the circumstances of this great statement. Secondly, I want you to think about its contents. Verses 25 and 26. We read, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. As I said, here was a great home. Here was really the second home of Jesus Christ. You know what it's like when you talk about someone you know, someone you like, someone you love, and you say, well, their home, it's a home from home. Well, the home that of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, really, that is what it was like for Jesus Christ. He was always popping in for a visit. He was always getting away from the hustle and bustle of city life in Jerusalem. And he loved just to get to that village, to Bethany, a few miles up the road. And he loved then to repose with this family. But death had visited this fine home. And now standing at the grave of one of his closest friends, he utters these words, I am the resurrection and the life. And in saying these words, and saying them before he actually died on the cross, he is saying, I am it. I am the cause of the resurrection. Yes, whilst I one day will die on the cross, I also will be raised again to life. And I am the very cause of me conquering death. He also said he was the life. In other words, he was the very source of life. And he reminded Martha that even if someone were gone and someone would pass away, they could live on. They could live again because of his resurrection. He would give that person everlasting life. And all they had to do was simply believe on him. He said in verse 26, "Whosoever believeth in me shall never die." You see, eternal life is not merely assumed. It must be accepted. Like a Christmas gift, it must be taken personally and believed in before it can be received. And Christ is reminding you in this statement, I am the resurrection and the life. That yes, whilst he died on the cross for sin, he rose again. He conquered death. He miraculously conquered death. And if you trust in him, then you too, one day, you will live again, you will rise again to be with him. But it is only through believing in him. Job said in Job 19, verse 25, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he went on to say, whom I shall see for myself. He knew that his Redeemer liveth. He had that personal assurance that one day he would see Jesus Christ himself. He had this wonderful assurance. I wonder today, do you have this assurance? Christ is not merely a man to be debated. He is a person to be decided upon, to be believed upon and trusted in him. And I wonder just, yes, perhaps you know this statement and you've heard this statement before and you've heard the scriptures read to you before from John 11. But I wonder, do you believe in him? Do you believe in him? There was its circumstances and contents, but lastly and quickly, I want you to think about its confirmation. Verses 43 and 44, we read, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Christ, he came to this grave of Lazarus. He had told Mary and Martha that he was the resurrection and the life. And now he's putting this in action. Now he is demonstrating what he actually means when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He simply stands at the tomb. And he says tremendous words, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, what happens? He comes forth. And we even read that he came forth both hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound about with a napkin. There he was, and he was literally walking amongst them. And Jesus Christ then commanded his grave clothes to be taken off. He was then a vivid testimony of what Jesus Christ had just said. Here Jesus had just said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he was a living, vital testimony that Jesus Christ could raise from the dead. And I suggest to you that you see the reality of the resurrection all around you. When you look at believers, you look at their lives, what do you see? You see people with a risen Jesus Christ living within their hearts. We can say with Bobby, as he had lived in this life, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And you witness it. You witness it in the lives of believers. You perhaps watch them, how they conduct themselves, how they carry on and how they live their lives. And what are they? They are visible testimonies, just like Lazarus, to the fact that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. If you visit the British Museum in London and you go to the Egyptian section, you will find there a stone coffin, and it contains the body of an Egyptian from nearly 3,000 years ago. It's actually preserved in the very sand that it was interred in. And as you look at that body, it has been preserved and it is still very clearly visible to this day. And the shape that it is preserved in It is actually really that the man is preserved in a position where it really looks like a question mark. He's crouched in. And it's as if he's asking the question, if a man die, shall he live again? And thank God we can say that you can live again through resting and believing in Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts and lives this afternoon. We're going to close our service today by singing the last hymn in our order of service. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Well, stand please whilst we sing this hymn. And after we sing this hymn, I would ask you to remain standing, please. Before we close, I just want to remind you that the interment will take place in the Glendermot Presbyterian Churchyard, and refreshments will then be served in their hall immediately afterwards. And if you're not going to the graveside, then you can go directly to the hall. We'll close in prayer. Gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the comfort, for the consolation of the gospel. We thank you for the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And we thank you, Lord, for that comfort that you gave to Mary and Martha in their time of mourning. And we thank you, Lord, that we sorrow not as those that have no hope concerning our brother Bobby. We thank you, Lord, that we do sorrow then with hope that he is with Christ, which is far better. We thank you that he is now entering into the experience of Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth, whom I shall see for myself. We just pray that you will continue to give grace and help and mercy as we mourn the loss of our dear brother Bobby. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.